So demons come in through the ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the pores of the skin, the sexual organs, the anus. Anywhere you can find air able to enter into you, the spirits can come into you. They look for gateways. They look for what you call conduits or portals to get in. And you got to participate in some unlawful activity, or somebody in your family had to participate in some unlawful activity to allow these pneumas or these spirits access into the human beings. Now, you see that the devil's fighting with the mark of the archangel and cast down from the heavenlies to the earth. I believe what is happening is there is something happening at ground level that's empowering this warfare. You can tell from Daniel chapter 10 that the spirit world is empowered by what?
Words.
The words of people. Daniel chapter 10, remember he was praying, the angel came to him, said, I encountered the prince of Persia on the way to you and he withstood me. God dispatched Michael the archangel to overcome this ruling prince that was too strong for me, a messenger angel. And I fought through for 21 days to get to you. And the first thing the angel said was, I have come because of your words. What you were saying dispatched me, and I am bringing an answer to you, dispatched from heaven because of your words. But coming down here, I fought through the second heavenlies. So you see now around us at all times, based on what we're saying, the angelic forces are fighting. It's a warfare. I actually believe when you begin to pray for Jerusalem, you see conflict in the Middle East. I believe it gets frenetic over there. As you begin to beg God to save the Jews, God bring the Jews to repentance, God complete the work on earth by engrafting back in the remnants of the Jews, it gets frenetic. Because the devil don't want the Jews to be saved. Because if the remnant Jews get saved, guess what he knows? I guess we might as well wrap it up. It's a wrap. Because he says that he's going to engraft back in that original seed, that original root to complete the work. So folks are always talking about replacement theology, that the church replaced the Jews. Somebody told me that's what G. Craig Lewis teaches. I don't know, I never heard him, but that's what they say he teaches, that the church replaced the Jews, the church replaced Israel. I'm gonna show you why that's not possible. That's not possible. The Bible says, don't boast yourself against them. Don't lift up in pride, because you're not holding them up, they're holding you up. They're the root. Guess what you are? You're a branch. The gospel was preached by the Jews to the Gentiles. The Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't bring the gospel to the Jews. Jesus was crucified with a sign over his head. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. You don't like the Jews, guess who you don't like? That's his brethren. Those are his blood brethren. He came from the tribe of Judah. You fool around with all that if you want to. That's you over there fooling around with it, not me. If God chooses a person to do a job like Abraham, he cuts a blood covenant with that person. And the covenant will not be annulled until God annuls it. He changed the covenant to let the church in and to do a New Testament work, but it did not annul the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to show you why it did. Because God made him a promise. To his blood lineage, he made a promise. And he's going to get a remnant of them in order to satisfy that covenant. I don't like that. I don't care if you don't like it. It's the way it is. See, folks don't like things about God. I don't think that's fair. It doesn't matter if you think it's fair. He is the Lord. He does as he pleases. And he answers to nobody. I kind of like that about God, too. I don't care what y'all like. I'm going to do what I want to do. I kind of like being around somebody like that. Let's just go with, I'm just going to go with you. Yeah, let's just go and you do what you do and I'll be with you. He got the final say. So anyway, let's kick in with him. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can stand against him. I need to be with him, not against him. That's just common sense. All right, now, he says, the devil and his angels fought, they were cast down to the earth. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. Now we got deliverance, y'all. Deliverance has come. And strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power or authority of his Christ, his anointed one. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is now come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So you see now, this is the end time conflict. Salvation has come. It's wrapping up. And the devil's down at the earth level. I believe he comes down and empowers the Antichrist. And now you see the whole situation begin. And the reason why I said that, if you keep reading, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. So you see now, there is a scenario where this woman is being persecuted. And you know, Israel is that woman that brought forth the man child. And God protects this woman for 3.5 years from the face of the serpent that's coming angrily to destroy the woman. Because the mindset of the devil is, okay, I'm being cast down, it's wrapping up. He's going to engraft the Jews back in to complete the church. So, if I just destroy all of them, God cannot end this, because he promised that they have to be engrafted back in. So I'll kill all of them so that he can't do it. And his word will remain incomplete, and therefore I won't be judged, because he wouldn't have completed what he said he was going to do. Do you not know that all through the Bible, the devil has tried to kill whoever or whatever was a threat to him going to hell? Yeah. Moses, what did he do? Killed all those children. I don't know what a deliverer is. I'll just kill up everybody. Jesus came, what did he do? He repeated it. I don't know which one of them is the deliverer. I don't know which one is the, I can't tell, but something is happening. Just kill everybody. Because he knows that a promise was made to the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman will bruise my head. So he's always looking for somebody being born that might be a deliverer. And I'll kill up. Why do you think abortion started in 1973? Deliverers were coming. So he says, slaughter all the children. Slaughter everybody. I don't know which one might be the deliverer. Just kill up everybody everywhere, because deliverers are coming from that generation. Beginning in 1973, that generation is bringing forth deliverers. Now, right now, they're down at the corner smoking some dope and drinking some liquor. But just wait. Amen. You're going to see those deliverers. They're going to come out of that generation.
Thank you.
It don't look like it. A person born in 1973 is around 41 right now. 41, 42. That's the age group you're looking at. So from like 40-ish up to around 60-ish, that's the zone. You're going to get deliverers who will teach the young people and lead them out. What you had born in the 70s, around that 73 range, was bridge people. Now, what's a bridge person? Moses was a bridge person. See, for God to bring out the young people, you got to have a bridge. You got to have somebody not so old that they're decrepit and useless and cannot identify with the young. But you can't be so young that you're stupid and you know, don't know anything. But see, a bridge person can almost identify with both groups. You can bridge across. See, I know what Lil Wayne is saying. I know what Tupac is saying. I know all that junk that they think is a big deal. I know about Rocco and Rihanna and all the rest of that crazy stuff they deal with. At the same time, I know the ways of the old man. I was taught by old folks. I know the old landmarks. I know the old pathways. So you can bridge. You can bridge across from the old to the young and bring them across the bridge. You get a guy like Maze jumping up trying to be somebody, lead somebody. That's destined to failure. Yeah. He can't bridge. He can't bridge them across because he doesn't know the way. He calls the young man because he's strong. He calls the old man for what? Because he knows the way. You don't know the way. If you've never been to Albuquerque, you don't know the way to Albuquerque. You don't know the way. So you gotta be a bridge person, and those people were basically born from 1973-ish or so, coming forward. You got the young group that was born then, but back, you go back in time, and that bridge person would have lived through it. See, 73, 74, 75, when they started abortions, you were probably coming out of high school or something. If you're my age, you know, you were coming out of high school. You had been born in the 50s or the early 60s. That was the bridge person that grew past the 70s when they started aborting people. But when they started the abortions, those are the people that the devil was getting rid of because he was scared of something. Something was happening. He started killing universally and worldwide because that group is assigned to do a job. Yeah. So you got to have that person that grew through that, that can train folk, that can reach these young folks because you're not put off by them. Yeah. You know, tattoos and stuff don't bother me. I don't care. Some people can't get past all that. I don't care. Repent. Be born again. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Do the job.
Yes, right.
See, if physical things bother you, you can't do the job.
That's right. That's right.
Because you'll be somewhere trying to, you know, conform people to physical elements. See, you're not abstract enough to be a vessel of God because you think in concrete. You got to have an abstract mind, and you're after the spirit within the person. You're not about the flesh. You're not after the body. You're after the spirit inside of that body. Now, look at this. So he says, let's zero in here. Let's zero in on the scripture here to take a look at it. Verse 11, and they overcame him, referring to the devil, by the blood of the lamb, the soul of the lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Now, how is that happening? The blood of the lamb is giving you a transfusion. He is actually replacing your contaminated soul with Jesus' soul by cleansing. See, the blood is a cleansing agent. Without the shedding of blood, there is no washing away or remission of dismissal of sin. So my problem is I need another soul. I need a soul that's been purified, been rectified, been changed. Because my soul is contaminated. I got blood-borne pathogens in me. They give me a certain type of personality, a certain type of inclination. I got idiosyncrasies that's messed up in me. I've been misprogrammed. I'm messed up in my mind, my attitudes, my soul, my emotions. I need to be renovated. Something is wrong with me. You need renovation for inhabitation. God can't inhabit you until he renovates. So therefore, the blood of the Lamb makes you inhabitable by God. So he renovates with the blood, by the blood. The blood cleanses. It's a cleansing agent. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but listen to this, and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. Now, this is very important, but it does not seem to be important if you know the surface. Now you got to understand why he says that. The word of their testimony is the logos of their maturia. That's the Greek. The logos of their maturia. The maturia, or the maturia, is appending itself to a particular activity. And their love, they love not their lives, their psuche. That's the word psuche for soul. They love not their own souls unto the death. So you now you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your maturia. Now let's look back at this word maturia in Acts chapter 1. Let's give a more detailed look at this word here. The words of your maturia, that's what you're dealing with. That's the testimony he's talking about. Now this word here in Acts chapter 1 verse 7 has the same root. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know, that's Jesus about the kingdom coming. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power, dunamis. Now we're looking, what you're looking for, whether you know it or not, in your life is dunamis power. Right. Resurrection power. Miracle working signs and wonders flowing out of you like a river. That's the goal of Christianity. God is trying to get a vessel that can transmit dunamis power. So what we call the tabernacle, we endeavor to build dunamis. It's a power tabernacle. You're coming in here to get power. You're coming here for a reason, a purpose. Everything you go through is to clean you to receive power. He says, he promises, Jesus speaking, you shall receive dunamis power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the missing element is the Holy Ghost coming upon the church. And you shall be a what? A witness. A martyrs. Marturia, martyrs. Marturia, martyrs. The word back in Revelation, you'll overcome by your testimony. What does a witness give on a stand?
Testimony.
So you see the connection. You'll be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Maturia. You'll be a witness. Martyrs. But you know what martyrs is actually linked to in the English language? The word martyr. Martyr. The witness is martyrdom. That's what most of the church people go back away from it. I just lost 80% to 90% of all church people with that statement. The witness is your martyrdom. How do you know that? Look how Revelations ended up here in verse 11. And they love not what? Unto that's revelation right there about what we're dealing with. You come in here knowing that you've joined an army committed to martyrdom. That's the witness. Why is it the words of your martyrdom? Because martyrdom won't be appended to you until you do what? Until you speak up. So people do what? They shut up and won't give a witness. They won't witness for Christ. They sit there in religious entertainment and they shut their mouths and pretend to know Jesus when they don't. They debate all day on the internet. They dialogue, they debate, they discuss, they analyze, but they won't step into this inferno to be a witness. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony as a witness. Having already processed the fact, my witness will lead to martyrdom. The most poignant example of this in the Bible is Stephen. Stephen spoke up already dead. I'm going to show you what an overcomer really is now. You got to understand God's logic behind what he does. Now here's a $64 million question that a Christian must answer correctly to know what you've gotten into. Here's the question. Why do you and I have a physical body? For what reason? interact with other physical bodies? What's that, Damon?
For God to use.
For God to use.
To give it to God as a living sacrifice.
Huh?
To give it back to God as a living sacrifice.
To sacrifice it up. Latia has won the prize. Genesis chapter 22. The only reason you got a body is for God to monitor who's willing to sacrifice it back to him. That's why he gave us a physical body. Because you're a spirit. They that worship God must worship him how?
Spirit.
Why didn't he just make human spirits? Why we got physical bodies? What's this for? Why? What? If God made us spirits without physical bodies, when you sin, you've been damned. You couldn't get back.
His mercy
is filtering us through a body. That's mercy and grace appended to the human race. To make you a temporal body, and he's using that body for his own purposes. He's monitoring who will become selfless enough to give it back. Watch what he did to Abraham right here, Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now the word tempted, the Bible plainly tells you God does not tempt anyone with sin. He doesn't tempt a man with sin. God can't be tempted with sin, neither does he tempt any man. You're tempted with sin when you're led away by your own lust. But God does God will test a person. So the word there for tempting is really testing. God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Now, if you don't, you know you love yourself. Self-love is appended to the human. Isaac is a type of the self-life. Take your only son that you just love and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of you. I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. See how he sees the sacrifice of his son as worship.
That's right.
I'm under command. I'm doing exactly as I am told. I love this boy, but I have been told what to do with this boy, and I carry out the command to the nth degree. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And you know Jehovah Jireh means?
The Lord God,
the Lord God provides. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because you have done this thing, and have not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So you see now, thy son, thy only son. And at that point, God committed to send Jesus. You didn't withhold your only son, I will not withhold my only begotten son. It was a covenant cut between God and Abraham. The agreement was, I'll multiply you because of what you did. I'm going to make you a blessed man, and I'm going to multiply you because you didn't withhold your son. Keep that in your mind as we go forward. So you see in the Bible now, God deals with agreements and covenants. Genesis chapter 9. We're going to trace these covenants for a minute to show you how God thinks. You see how God thinks, you can understand him better. Genesis chapter 9, you find what we call the Noahic covenant, the covenant cut between God and Noah. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. Don't eat flesh, it's got blood in it. Don't drink blood. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So God judges murder. You shed man's blood, by man will your blood be shed. And be you fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you, my agreement with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the fowl of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And you know the sign of the covenant is what? The rainbow. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And the covenant is what? I will never destroy the earth by water again. That's the agreement he made. Now, he didn't say I wasn't going to destroy it. I just want to destroy it by water. And the old folks used to tell you, it won't be by water, but by fire this time. I do set my bow in the cloud, and that's the covenant. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And see, people look at a rainbow, and they don't even realize, you know, that's where it came from. So what happens? The homosexual hijacks the rainbow and makes it and defiles it. They advertise it now, you know. Oh, it won't be by water. He'll get us by fire this time. That's what they carrying around the rainbow. You got the right sign. And now remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and my agreement between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bowl shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. That's the Noahic covenant, and that's where it came from. God made a promise to Noah, set a rainbow in the clouds to mark it. I won't destroy you by water anymore. The Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 15. After this thing, these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am the shield. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now he's prophesying, God is foretelling Egyptian captivity. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. They came out 2 to 3 million strong after 400 years with all the jewels and the abundance and wealth of Egypt in tow. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generations, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. Now this is the presence of God going between the cut animals. He's cutting a covenant. God's walking through the cut pieces to cut the covenant. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. If you trace what God gave Abraham, almost that whole region of the Middle East from Egypt. Now, this is from Egypt all the way up north. I mean, that little stretch of land they got is Israel right now. That's probably like 3% of it, or some crazy small percentage of it. All that land in Jordan, all those nations are squatters on Abraham's land.
That's right.
They're talking about the Palestinians. They don't want the Israelites to really get what's really due them. They'd really be mad then. It's huge. It's a huge patch of land they're giving to the Israelites. And God ain't taking it back. It's the Israelite land. That's the way it is. So while people are arguing about Israel, you don't want Israel to really get what's really theirs, because you're going to really see some folk mad then. But in God's eyesight, that little swatch of land is not Israel. That's what man says Israel is, not God. He outlined exactly. You're going to check a map that shows you the real land of Israel. It will blow your mind how much of that oil land belongs to Israel. That's the Abrahamic covenant that God cut with Abraham about multiplying the seed and giving them all that land. The Abrahamic covenant encompasses all that land. And God makes a covenant. He does not take it back. You don't see the rainbow going away, do you? That's an eternal covenant. It comes every time there's a storm, up in the clouds, the rainbow. So that's the Abrahamic covenant. Exodus chapter 24. I'll make it a point. I'm bringing out a point. So just hang loose and I'll show you the point. Like one preacher said, I'm bringing out a point and you might just be the point I'm bringing out. Exodus 24. And he said unto Moses, come on up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and the people all and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord have said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars and according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. So you know the story. You keep reading and you find in verse 12, there are tables of stone and the law and commandments which were written that had to be taught to all the tribes. And verse 16 says, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So you know he came back down from that mountain. Covenant was cut with Moses. This is the Mosaic covenant, the agreement of the law and the law of Moses and the Mosaic covenant. Now you know, for that covenant to be put into effect, in chapter 25, God established the Ark of the Covenant. It was called the Ark of the Covenant because God's presence abode with the Israelites in that ark, because he had a covenant with them based on them keeping his commandments. They kept the commandments, the presence of God stayed with them in that ark. A lot of times when they rebelled, the ark would be taken from them. It's called the enemies of Israel knew, as long as they got that ark, God is in their camp, they're invincible. Get the ark. I don't believe the ark just disintegrated down here. I believe it's somewhere. My best guess, really. The best guess I would make about where the ark is for real, they say it's in the Middle East somewhere, buried in a cave or something. It's probably in the Vatican. It's probably deep underground in the Vatican. And the Roman Catholic Church thinks it has global power because it has the Ark of the Covenant. That's my guess. Because if you know the story, Rome invaded Israel 70 AD, destroyed the temple, and the ark went somewhere. It's more than likely they took it back to Rome, because everybody knows, you ever seen that Raiders of the Lost Ark starring Harrison Ford, where they went looking for the Ark of the Covenant, open it up and everybody got killed? And see, that ark is around somewhere. And you know, if that ark turned up right now, that would be terrifying. If it got back to Israel, it would really be terrifying. If they built a temple around it, it would really, really, really be terrifying. Because you got everything just set in place for end time scenario just to rapidly take place and end all of this.
Here's the map that's really
Israel. Come put it in front of the camera here so people can see it.
That God gave
Israel. Get kind of close to the camera. Tom will tell you when you zeroed in on it. Mm-hmm.
And this is where they are now.
Come in front of the camera here, bro. Right here. Can you see it real good on that tongue? That's the real land right there. So when you hear people talking about Israel and that little swatch of land they got now, forget that. That's the land of Israel right there. What nations is that covering? Does it say on there?
Egypt, portion of Saudi Arabia, almost all of Iraq, and all of Syria.
So why they getting mad about that little country Israel? Hey, look, you squatters better get off of those Israelites' land. Iraq, you have to go away. See, don't, this is the reality of what we're dealing with. Yeah, while folks are complaining, you better be glad they just accept that little bit of land. Because the real land is all of those countries. All right, now, so you got those covenants now. We looked at the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Look what he says in Exodus 23:23 about Moses and the people of Israel. Look what he tells them. He says, now under this auspices of this agreement and walking with God and God walking with them and him being their God and they being him, his people, he says in Exodus 23:23, for mine angel shall go before you and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. They are a type of demons. Under the covenant with us now, God has promised, I'm cutting the demons off. I'm disembodying them. I'm casting them out. Yes. You'll be free of all that disturbance in your life. So all the chaos in your life, God has promised under the New Testament to cut them off.
Thank you, Lord.
So why are we still bothered by the demons? I'm going to show you in a minute. I'm making a case. I got to go see this is all legal. I got to do it. I'm prosecuting a case here. All right. Now, he says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. Now, if the demons are cut off now, leave their gods alone. Who are the gods of the demons? The fallen angels. See, the demons are assigned to fallen angels, and that's their god. That's why people act certain ways, and you got a very diverse group of people down here that act differently. It's what God the demons serve that are in those people. Everybody don't like Lil Wayne, because the fallen angel in Lil Wayne don't appeal to them. But the demons assigned to Lil Wayne, because Lil Wayne is not a human. Lil Wayne is a demon. His name ain't Lil Wayne for real, is it? You see how they always take on what? An alter ego. See, when worship comes upon Beyonce, she becomes Sasha Fierce, because that's the name of the fallen angel. So all the demons assigned to fallen angel Sasha Fierce go down to the stadium and buy their ticket to go pay homage to that fallen angel. This is what we're really living in. It's all assigned worship to the fallen angels, because the devil made these boys promises when he led them in rebellion against God. I'm going to give you a kingdom, and you will have subjects in your kingdom, and you will have worshipers. He's fulfilling the promise. The demons are the worshipers of the fallen angels. Then the multi-million dollar question always comes to me, Pastor Price, you don't think the fallen angels are the demons? Nope, I don't think the fallen angels are the demons. I don't. Why? Angels fly. Jesus didn't say the demons flew. So when the unclean spirit comes out of a man, it walks through dry places. Angels are airborne. They don't walk through anywhere. They fly. So then, what are demons? I take you back to Genesis chapter 6. I believe the demons are the disembodied offspring of the fallen angels. And they basically are worshiping the daddies that sired them. It's a family worship. They have a natural inclination to turn back to that which sired them. See, then, you believe that angels actually had beings through women? That's what the Bible says. It ain't I believe it. What did the Bible say? So the demons are down here worshiping the fallen angels, and the fallen angels can get into people. You can look at certain people and know there would be no inclination to even go and talk to them. Nobody would go and look to a Jay-Z concert in their right mind. They got a fallen angel in him. Nobody would go and bow to the Pope and kiss his ring. He's got a fallen angel in him. You listen to Oprah's empty-headed gibberish. Nobody would listen to that garbage. She's got a fallen angel in her. Who would tune in to Wendy Williams? She's got a fallen angel in her. Ellen DeGeneres, man, who would listen to a lesbian? It's a fallen angel in them. When you look at anybody and you look at them and wonder, why would anybody listen to this garbage? You don't understand the spirit world. You don't understand that human beings are subject to whatever the demons that control their minds make them bow down to. This is why a Christian has to sanctify themselves. He says, don't fool around with none of these gods of these tribes, the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and their gods. Don't bow down to them. Do not do after the words, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into obedience and captive to Christ. That's the mission of the church. That's the mission of you as an individual inside of you. You are overcoming inner space. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and you shall bless and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's what the man said he'd do.
Yes.
There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. Thy number of thy days I will fulfill. You'll live a long life. You won't have any miscarriages. And everything going to be prosperous around you if you divest yourself of these unclean entities and have nothing to do with them. Sanctify yourself from them. And then again, the question becomes how? I want to be free. I'm begging to be free. I'm longing to be free. I'm trying to find out how to be free. And you're taking so long to tell me how to be free. Listen, I'm trying to make a case. I got to make it all legal. You have to prosecute a case thoroughly. And very, very succinctly, so there's no misunderstandings when we make the final decree. So you got to know what's going on, see? You see here, there are different covenants. Noahic covenant, Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was with the Israelites after that covenant was cut because God's presence stayed with them based on them staying under the covenant. We don't affiliate with any foreign tribes. We don't worship their gods. We're sanctified unto our God, the Lord God, Jehovah. And we don't affiliate with you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We will not bow to your gods. We stay clean. We stay totally sanitized or sanctified from you. We are a separate people separated unto our God at the expense of your God. That offends the devil. That offends the devil because as the demons worship the fallen angels, guess what? The fallen angels worship Satan.
Right.
It's all upstream worship. The worship comes through the fallen angels to Satan. Satan is at the pinnacle of the what? The pyramid. He runs a pyramid function. It's him at the top, the all-seeing eye of Horus on your dollar bill, that's Satan's eye that governs all the little peons in the pyramid. It all goes upstream and he receives all of it. Now, all these covenants that were cut with Noah, Abraham, Moses, then we get to the final covenant that then brought us into the equation. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. This is the covenant that God cut, the final agreement that got you and me on the scene. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of what? Guess what that word is? A great cloud of martyrs. That witnessing cloud in heaven, guess what they are? They're the martyrs of Jesus Christ. They love not the lives unto death. We're surrounded by a great cloud of martyrs. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So before you start talking about it, it's hard, and I don't think I'm going to make it, and this is a rough life, he said, consider Jesus. He endured the contradiction of sinners standing against him. He says, lest you faint or give up in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. In other words, you ain't dead. Somebody killed you. You hadn't been crucified. What you complaining about? And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint. Don't give up when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. God is going to whip your butt.
That's right.
It's going to happen. You're going to endure a good butt whipping.
Yes.
Don't despise it. Embrace it. Embrace the butt whipping. Because you got stuff in you that's got to be driven out of you with that butt whipping. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Every son you ever had, you chastened them. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, everybody that's part of the overcoming clan, you had your butt whipped. If you didn't undergo the chastisement, then you are a what? You're an illegitimate, fake Christian playing church, trying to look like and act like the folks that have been chastised. You don't even understand anything about this because your butt has not been whipped enough. So it says you're a bastard and not a son. You're in church trying to talk in tongues and prophesy and calling yourself an apostle, but you're a bastard. You're not an apostle, you're a bastard. You're not a preacher, you're a bastard. You're not a pastor, you're a bastard. Woman, you're trying to seize the pulpit from male authority. You're not a pastor, you're a bastard. I don't like that.
For bastards, nothos.
Nobos?
Nothos, like nothing.
Oh, nothing. You're a nothing.
Nothos.
Nophos. You don't even exist. Golly. That's kind of rough. It's like a child is born without a father, you know, don't have his father there, and they call him a bastard child or whatever. Got no identity. You can't identify them with anything or anybody. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So he's trying to drive something out through the chastening. The chastening has a purpose. He's getting rid of some part or some element of us that is making us unholy. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. That's true. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, because of this, lift up your hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You don't get cleaned out and cleaned up, you'll never see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, by the root of bitterness, many be defiled by you. That's why the environment of a church has to be holy. It has to be abstract, because people will come in defiled and you can't respond to them. They've got to be given an environment to be cleaned, without the interruptions of the flesh trying to make them conform to the flesh, live up to our standards. No, it's got to be a haven that's designed by God for the person to be set free. And I'm going to show you what makes it like that in just a minute. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person is Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. You remember what happened to Moses on the Mount Sinai, right? He went into that dark cloud. So you didn't come to that mountain. You didn't come as part of the Mosaic covenant. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they then heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. You know, when Moses heard God's voice sounding like a trumpet blast, the people said, "Don't you go talk to him. We don't want to talk to him directly. You go find out Moses and come back and tell us." They were terrified of God because they had sin in them. He says, "For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." It's terrifying to fool around with God. You don't want to be fooling around with God when you got sin in you, or you're self-conscious, or you got something about you that's not right. You back away from God. So the more you manifest God, the more the sinner that does not want to repent will back away from God. You don't have to do anything. Just manifest God. Everything runs on automatic after that. "But you are come unto the Mount Zion," and we call it Zion, of course, it's spelled with an S, right? The Mount Zion, "unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Remember Revelation, the heavenly Jerusalem coming down? And "to an innumerable company of angels." So many angels, you can't even number them. Could be in the trillions of angels. You know, you have no idea how many angels there are. "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the what?
New covenant.
Of the new covenant. Jesus is the final covenant in the Bible. It's the messianic covenant, the covenant made with the Messiah. God the Father cut a contract with the Son. Everything done by God as a judge on a bench is governed by legal contracts. He's honoring a contract. This is why the church has to come forth. This is why there's going to be a church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. This is why God is going to have himself a people. He is obligated by contract to do it. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." You remember when Moses cut the covenant with the lamb's blood? He took hyssop, dipped it in blood, and sprinkled all the things used in the service of the tabernacle, and sprinkled all the people with the blood of that lamb. The blood seals the covenant. Every covenant with God is a blood covenant that takes the death of the person cutting the covenant. The covenant person must die to self totally. God dies to everything and makes that person the singular focus of the covenant. I give up everything for you. You give up everything for me. That's why God walked through those animals to seal the covenant. It was signing off on the fact that you and I, Abraham, are merging together. I'm giving up me, you give up you, and we join together in covenant. That's the agreement. Selfless sacrifice. Where else is that displayed? What other covenant displays that? The covenant of marriage. That's a blood covenant. That's why sex outside of marriage is so detrimental to you. When you have sex in marriage, you cut a blood covenant. Both people are supposed to be a virgin. But that man's penis penetrates the vagina, the hymen is ruptured, and blood spews over his penis. That's the woman's blood coming over the man's penis to show that her blood is not joining his blood as he releases ejaculate into her, and his semen is full of his blood and his DNA and his identity. That's why the Bible says you lie down with a harlot, you become one with the harlot. It's a blood covenant that's been cut. You exchange souls in sex. What's gotten a lot of folk jacked up? They got other folks' souls in them that they cut blood covenants with through sex. And the reason why you're so crazy is because you're thinking like Leroy, the guy you laid up with back in 1983. Till you get him out of you and the demons that he housed, your mind won't get right. So you, when Leroy thinks about you, you feel like some lust on me. I feel all this stuff. I know that's Leroy. All right, now. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven.